All right. Hey kids, I'm gonna ask y'all to do me a favor. Can y'all either move to the second row right here, or y'all can sit by Gigi and Aaliyah and Brett, whichever y'all want to. Perfect. All right. Tyler, Ambry. Yeah, y'all come down here, please. Randy, you and Tim, y'all come down here, please. Y'all sit down here in the special section. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, so if however this needs to work with the kids, y'all parents, if I want y'all to hear what I'm saying, parents. So if it gets where we need to hand them off to grandparents for a few minutes, then we can do that, okay? Because I want y'all, I don't want y'all fussing with babies when I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to challenge you this morning, both. Yeah. Oh boy, nothing wrong with that. Yep. He wants his daddy. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11 real quick. We're going to hit a good bit of scripture. We have two couples that come this morning, and they want to come down and do a dedicate their children to the Lord. And this today is not an opportunity for your kids to build an altar to the Lord. It's your opportunity to build an altar to the Lord. I'll be quite honest with you, and I'm going to be kind of, it may come across a little blunt, but it's not. Y'all know my heart towards y'all. But I really want to get to the reality of this. Your kids will not remember today, but they'll remember the next 10 or 15 years on how you walk this out. That's what they'll remember. So today, you know, we talked about, and we brought her up several times over the last couple months, the what we call the woman with the issue of blood, the woman that used to have the issue of blood. And Jesus stopped. And it says she was healed as soon as she touched the hem of his garment. But he stopped, and it looks like he called her out. He didn't call her out, but he said, somebody touched me. And he was giving her the opportunity to build a memorial right there publicly in that place. And to me, a baby dedication is what you're doing. Is God, you are pausing, we are stopping. God is giving you an opportunity to build, to publicly build an altar, build a memorial, and saying, this is who we declare to be. And I want y'all to take that very seriously. Because I can't tell you how many times I've done baby dedications, and 15 years later doesn't look like the day they wanted to dedicate their baby. A lot of them 2 years later doesn't look like the day they wanted to dedicate their baby. So this is your opportunity to build a memorial before the Lord, to build a memorial in public before these people. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a beautiful opportunity. I also think it's a big responsibility. And so I want to encourage you with some things. I want to charge you with some things. We were in New Zealand for a couple weeks, and I was meditating on this. Baby dedication. Lori told me down there, she said, oh, I forgot to tell you, we're having baby dedication when we get back. And I said, okay, cool. And so I began to kind of meditate on this and think on this and say, Lord, let me have your, what do you want to say and all this. And the first thing that the Lord did was he carried me to Hebrews 11. And I'm like, that's kind of odd for a baby dedication. But turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11. This word is not just for Tim and Randy and Tyler and Ambry. This word's for everybody in here. This word is for you if you have grandchildren. This word is for you if you have children that are already grown. If your children are teenagers in college and home and all of this, if your kids are sitting on the front row over here, a nice little herd of them, this word is for you. And we look, and if we're not careful, we can be overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. We can be overwhelmed by the daunting uncertainty of life. You know, just all the circumstances that we're constantly being bombarded with. And it's, you know, you're sitting here saying, wow, what a, you know, I can make it through this, but what a scary place for my kids, or what a scary place for my grandkids. What kind of world am I bringing my children into and my grandchildren into and all of this? And in Hebrews 11, it's the what we call the faith chapter, and it talks about the faith of all of these people. And there's a word concerning Sarah that I really love in this, because of what it says that she does. In verse 11, it says, Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested. Her faith rested. I've got that underlined, circled, and highlighted. Rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. You know why I'm not sweating Finn's future? You know why I'm not sweating Margot's future? Because of the faithfulness of our God. The faithfulness of our Lord. His faithfulness to us, and not only us, but his faithfulness to our generations that come behind us. And that's his promises to us. That's his gift. That's something that I have seen bear out through 30-something years of pursuit of him. Is his faithfulness. His faithfulness to be there in tough times. His faithfulness to be there in tough situations. His faithfulness to be there when, you know, when it looks like it's just a mess. And he's always faithful. And I was talking with Nick before church, and he was just talking about they've kind of been through a very difficult season and being displaced for their home and his knees and all of this stuff and everything. And one thing that I told him and just shared with him, and I've shared this before, I'm like, the times that we've been through adversity, and, you know, we had a 3-year stretch that it was just, man, it was tough. But during that 3-year stretch, it galvanized us together because of his faithfulness, and that spilled over into our lives. And so, man, he is so amazingly, ridiculously faithful. And I want you guys to not freak out about what the world's going to look like in 15 years, because I know what he's going to look like in 15 years. I don't know what society's going to look like, but I know what he looks like. I don't know what economy looks like, but I know what he looks like. She may have to play basketball against men one day. I mean, I don't know. But I know what he looks like. I know what he's going to continue to look like. So rest in that. Because we spend way too much energy, way too much passion on the what ifs instead of the what is. And I want you guys to rest and trust in the what is. So the Lord carried me to that scripture. I want to read Psalm 139. It's such a powerful psalm. It's written by King David. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of it. I'm actually going to read the last verse of Psalm 138. In Psalm 138, the last verse, sorry, Karen, I didn't give you that, but y'all just listen to me on this. David says, since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me. And the word tells us other places, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete it in Margot. He's faithful to complete it in Finn. He's faithful to complete it in all of our lives. Listen to what he says as a comforting. This 139 comforts me so much. He says, Lord, verse 1, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. The Lord knows their journey. The Lord knows their path. That's something we can take confidence in. That's something we can rest in, guys. You know every step of my journey, even before I begin to take the steps. He knew that before she was conceived. He knew that before she was born. He knows that. How old is Margot now? 1.5, 18 months old. And he knows where her journey will be in 18 years old. He knows where her journey will be 80 years old. Listen to what he says right here. He said, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. Y'all are probably already thinking about preparing the future for your kids. You know, it's natural. We do that. You know, we start a college fund when they're early, you know, when they're young. Maybe we start a car fund because when they turn 16, we're going to get them a car. And all of these things we try to prepare for. And the word tells us, King David says, you've already gone into my future to prepare the way. And we can see it playing out in David's life. We can see it playing out in your life. But he's doing that because his promises to them are the same as his promises to us. His promises to us are the same as they were to King David. We live in a superior covenant than King David did. And he said, you've already gone into my future to prepare the way. And the Lord has gone before us and prepared a way. He's prepared a path for us. So I want to take some of the pressure off you guys today, because it's pretty intimidating to think, man, I'm bringing two sons and two daughters into the world. And I've got to provide. I've got to provide, financially. I've got to provide emotionally. I've got to provide safety. I've got to provide all of these things. And that's pretty intimidating, right? And I want to take some of the weight off you, because I want to tell you something, guys. He's carrying the brunt of that. As his children, he's carrying the brunt of that. So your rest is not in your strength. Okay? Nothing wrong with being upwardly mobile. Both of you y'all were taking new jobs. I just heard yesterday that you're taking a new job, and that's great. And I applaud everybody. Be upwardly mobile. But their future is not solely dependent on your strength in making things happen. Okay? It lies more on the Lord than it does even you, in your natural ability. Now he will move through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of Margot. Christ in you, the hope of Finn. All right? But take some of the pressure off yourself. I'm not saying be slackered and don't prepare and say the Lord's going to provide and all of that stuff. He will work through you. He will move through you. But relieve yourself of the pressure that I've got to make it happen. Okay? He says, I have gone into your future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Now, we look at them, and Margo's 18 months. How old's Finn? A little over a year. So these children are between 1 and 2 years old. They don't have much of a past. I mean, it's not like she's been lying, cheating, and stealing. You know, I know he's all boy, but he doesn't have this long, big, terrible sin list, right? You know, Tyler says, live with him a while, and you'll see. But you know what he's protecting us from? You know what he's protecting them from? The generational junk. Don't get offended, grandparents. You know, y'all, what are you talking about, Sid? The stuff that tries to follow us from generation to generation to generation, because he broke that yoke. The blood of Jesus broke that yoke. And I don't know, I don't know y'all's family backgrounds. I don't know the sins of the fathers and the forefathers and all of that stuff. But I do know that generational blessings and generational curses are a very, very real thing. But when he came in their past, he broke anything that might be. It might just be tendencies of you know, guilt, shame, stuff like that. We're not talking about this, you know, monstrous sin thing. The way that they view themselves, the way that you guys view yourselves and all of that stuff, you know, and he wants to bring them into a more perfect way. So he goes in and protects them from the past. I thank God for that. I find great peace in that. I find great comfort in that. Okay? I believe that they'll look more like Jesus than they will any of our failures and things. And I have confidence in that. David comes in and he says, man, I am resting. I am resting. Sarah rested. He said, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. In kindness, you followed behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings wonder and strength. Let's turn to Acts. I told you I was going to hit you with a good bit of scripture, but I promise I won't be long. It's going to be in Acts chapter 2. Peter has stood up, and he has preach the gospel flowing out of Pentecost. God's moving on the hearts of the people of Jerusalem. And in verse 38, Peter replies to the crowd. He said, "Repent and return to God, and each one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to have your sins removed." But then he comes in, he says, then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your families. The promise of his Spirit is for her. I know we grew up on, the preaching of the age of accountability and you know, getting saved, you know, as soon as the Lord deals you, da-da-da, all of that stuff. She can know his Spirit right now. She can experience his Spirit right now. Not just environmentally, but moving in her and through her. He can know the voice of the Lord right now. That's the promise of the Lord to us. That's the promise of the Lord to you. That's the promise of the Lord to your children. Peter stands up and declares, he said, the gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of God, is for you. It's for your children. It's for your unborn children. Is that he wants to come in and he wants to commune with you. And so he gives us this beautiful promise. I lay hold of that. One thing that I have found that has allowed me to walk a victorious life with the Lord is because I take these promises as my own. I take Psalm 139 as my own. I take Isaiah 60, 61, 62. I take it as my own. And God wants you to take it as your own. God wants all of you people that are in here today. You're not spectators watching what's going on with these two couples. He wants you to lay hold of these promises. He wants you to know, Norma, that these promises are not only for you, but they're for your children and your grandchildren to lay hold of. For your two grandsons to lay hold of. That's there for them right now, not when they get 16 and get it figured out. But right now. I believe that with every fiber in me. I believe that the Lord moved and stirred and was working in them, on them, and around them as they were small children before they reached the, whatever we call the age of accountability. I don't believe in that anymore, but anyway. It's a promise of the Spirit. It is for you and your families, for those yet to be born. So as we read these promises, and I could go on and on all day about these promises of God to us, these promises of God to your children. You search, you dig, you lay hold on these things. I want to challenge you a bit right now. Last year, it was probably, man, in the end of summer, y'all had just had a youth event over at Rhett Nero's house. And, a beautiful, beautiful day outside worship. And Errol sent me and Lori some pictures. And, you know, in one of the pictures, it was Tyler and Isaac Madeline, and they were on Rhett Nero's back porch, and they were leading the kids in worship. And you had all of these kids and youth, and they're standing down front, and they're lifting up their hands and worshiping. And I told Errol, and I've told her this before, I'm like, man, that is awesome. That's a beautiful sight. That's why God gave you the home that he gave you and the setting that he put it in, and they've got a ridiculously amazing setting and all of that. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm really proud of you and Rhett, the way y'all have stepped up and come alongside Tyler and Ambry and helped them in a leadership role with the youth. And Errol's comment on me talking about the picture and saying that is, she said, that's the way it's supposed to be. And here's where I want to bring this in today. She said, I remember as a child, I grew up always tagging along with the youth trips, always being in the middle of that. I grew up as a child with the Damon Thompsons and the Jody Brazeltons and people like that in my house, around my kitchen table. I grew up with prayer meetings in my living room floor. I grew up as a child in that atmosphere. I grew up in that. And what she's saying, she said, that is something that is planted deep inside of me. And I want to challenge you this morning. As I said a while ago, neither one of your children will remember today, but they'll remember how they grow up. They'll remember the next 10 years, Tim. They'll remember the next 15 years. They'll remember what their home felt like. They'll remember what they witnessed and what they experienced. They will remember, all of you have a responsibility in this, what Victory Fellowship felt like when they came in here on Sunday mornings or the youth meetings. You guys in the youth. Finn will remember what he felt like when he was hanging out with y'all in youth meetings. So that's a bit of an onus on y'all, Alex. What environment will you create? We come and bring these kids and we say we're going to dedicate them to the Lord, and it's an opportunity for us to build a memorial. But what's important is not what happens this morning. What's important is what happens 5 years from now. In the process, what does it look like 10 years from now? She's cute. She's in a dress. Pretty little girl. She's adorable. I know she's watering all over you, about to wear you out. But what's she going to experience the next 15 years that's going to shape what's in here and what's in here? Let me read this. Two more portions of scripture and we're done. Continuing in this Acts 2, in verse 42, it says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. In what matters? You may tell you what doesn't matter? How good a baseball player he is. How good a softball player she is. Whether or not he's good in soccer or not. Nothing wrong with sports, man. Don't think I'm up here dogging sports. But if our pursuit is to turn our child into the next Acuna or the next Messi, and we fail in Acts 2, if we fail in what Errol was talking about in her upbringing, if we fail in that, we've missed the mark. You can develop them mentally. They can be a genius. They can win awards and they can make a lot of money. You know, they can go to an Ivy League school, heaven forbid. They can go to a high place of higher education. And they can knock it out of the park financially. But if you fail in this area, then you're missing the mark. Then you're missing the mark. I challenge you, as pastor, as the father of this house, I challenge you to recognize the significance of the moment, the time you're in, where your children are. I'm not saying don't do that, man. I hope they're awesome. I hope they lead their teams and all of that stuff. But don't miss out on what really matters. Don't miss out on what really matters. Don't miss out on who they are in Christ. Don't miss out on the environment. Don't miss out on the household of love. Don't miss out on them coming through and saying, man, my mom and dad, they're amazing in marriage. I'm not tainted on marriage because I've seen it be amazing in my home. Both our girls got married pretty young. And I attribute that. They found the love of their life at a young age. But I also attribute it, they didn't have this bad taste of what marriage was. They saw it being modeled beautifully in front of them. And they said, man, this is a good thing. I want to get this as soon as I can. I want them to grow up. God wants them to grow up knowing nothing but His love, His peace, His hope, His joy, and His rest modeled through you guys. Modeled through you guys. That when you talk about Finn being the bride of Christ, it does not bother him at all because he sees how his father treats his mother. If you do that, you'll do well. That's what matters. Today does, but today doesn't. Today does because you're making a declaration. I've done hundreds of weddings through the last 30 years. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that everybody that took those vows is doing amazing and living an abundant life together. But the reality is too big of a percentage of them are not. They're divorced and they've moved on and some of them, their life looks like a train wreck and some of them have rebounded and they're doing life in the next phase and all of this. But the bottom line is, everybody that came down that day and said, I do, they had grand intentions. They had grand intentions. I'm simply saying, follow through with your intentions. Today's nice. It's beautiful. It's pretty. We'll come together. We're about to smear them with oil and pray over them in just a minute. You know, do that the thing we're supposed to do. Now we're doing the right thing. But the rubber that meets the road is what you do from this day forward. And I challenge you to do that. One last portion of scripture, turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Talking about challenging you and how do you model this. Philippians 3. I'm going to start in verse 13. I think I may have I gave Karen 12. Let's start in verse 12. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, he's talking about his journey. So this is talking about y'all's journey. Tyler, Ambry, Randy, Tim, this is talking about y'all's journey. She's fine. Don't worry about it. She's cool. Does not bother me a bit. He says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into His abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ laid hold of me. I run with passion to make me His own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. Margo said, I'm too long-winded. The Apostle Paul says, I haven't yet apprehended the thing that is apprehending me, not fully. But my life is a singular focus and a singular pursuit. You know what your children's priorities will be? What your priorities are. Let me say that. Everybody hear that in here? Y'all not zoned out because I'm talking to these four of you. You want to know what your children's priorities will be? What your priorities are. They will see that. They will accept that. They'll follow that. And the Apostle Paul says, I have a singular pursuit, and that's becoming all that I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. And it looks like a lot of different things. I hope all of y'all are ridiculously successful in the business world. I hope y'all knock it out of the park. I do. I hope y'all are blessed. I hope you flourish. As long as your pursuit of Christ is right in the middle of that. Because if he is simply an accessory in your life, you know what he'll be to your children? Just an accessory. Oh, that's just something we do occasionally. Don't let him be accessory. The Apostle Paul says, I'm pursuing that which pursued me. I'm not fully attained, but he says, I've laid hold on it. Jesus slows down so we can walk with him. He slows down so you can walk with him. He slows down so you can walk with him. Come and stride with him. You know what you'll find? You'll find your children emulating that. Not just that they're mimicking what you do, but who you are will begin to get inside of them. And they will know him because you know him. They will pursue him because you pursue him. And it will turn into a pursuit of their own. Because the same spirit that touched you will touch them. The same hope that touched you will touch them. The same peace that touches you will touch them. The same goodness that touches you will touch them. So that's the challenge that you have before you today. I applaud you for this morning, but not too loudly. Because the next 10 years is what matters. I'm glad you did it. That's great. Awesome. Now it is. I mean, it is. It's a chance to build a memorial. And I do not diminish that at all. It is a chance to build a memorial. But what matters is how. You see, here's the thing with the children of Israel. They built several memorials, but they were always following after other gods. That's why they died in the wilderness. You can build a memorial and still die in the wilderness. It's what we do from that moment in our pursuit of him. That's what matters. Here's what I want us to do in this still moment, and then we're going to bring the two kids in, okay? Y'all stand up. Come here, baby. I'm sorry.
Can you ask me how rude? Like he did all this by himself all these years or something. What I want to encourage you guys is one scripture that I stuck to through all this time is Proverbs 22. It's a promise. It says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It said train. It didn't say be perfect. When you hear those stories, you think, we did everything right. Aaliyah's like, I got a witness. I mean, Aaliyah was a firstborn sensitive girl, and I was a secondborn hard-nosed mom, and I didn't always know how to parent that. And then I had Ariel, and she's just like me. And we didn't know how to parent that. She about drowned at Jack State at a swim tournament, because I wouldn't let her get out of the pool. She was going to swim to the end of that lane by Jingles or else. And she's bloop. She's 5 years old. What was I thinking? I mean, what was I thinking? And she gets upset over all the frogs Ariel would date sometimes. And I'm like, don't upset. He won't be here long. He won't be here very long. There's just so many things down through the roads that we didn't get right. That's just silly. But there was things we didn't always get it right. None of us get it right. We're not God. But it says train. When you're training somebody, if they hit 3 out of 10, that's a pretty good day. And 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, release you from that perfection. When you're strumming on that guitar, do you hit every note correct? You're going to keep working at it, though, aren't you? So when we do make mistakes, don't give up, because you're going to make those mistakes. But it says train up a child. Keep after it. Keep. Don't stop. If you don't have peace in your home today, have peace in your home tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? Don't ever stop striving towards sin. And they have to see it in mom and daddy. If you want them to know this, you got to know this. There's a trend going around, and Lisa Bevere and a lot of other pastors are talking about, you know, we all have our Bibles on our phones, and I do too. I read it on my phone a lot. But if I come over here, sitting, Hannah, do you know what I'm reading right now? Do you know what I'm reading right now? What, you know what I'm reading, Eden? Mommy and Daddy may be sitting there reading your Bible, but they don't know if you're not on Instagram, ESPN. At some point, please, let them see you in this. What am I reading? Is there any doubt what Gigi's doing right now? I'm in my Word. And that's not just for kids. That goes for coworkers. That goes, I think it's a tool that the enemy's trying to desensitize our kids to knowing what we're really doing. I mean, we've got to be in this Word, to train in this Word. I've got to know the Word. They've got to see us doing these things to know what we're doing, to know it's important to us, to know it means something to us. And I love that illustration. That wasn't my, that Lisa Bevere broke my heart in that, because I'm like, I want my grandkids to know when they come to my house that there's a Bible out somewhere, Gigi's been in it at least some point during the week. It's not a 24/7 thing. We have lives to live and stuff to do. But my goal for us, and for especially you guys today, release all of us from perfection. That's shame. That's guilt the enemy tries to put on us, especially as women, that we got to do everything right. Release yourself from that. But say, I messed up today. I'm going to do better tomorrow. If there's things in my life that I grew up with that I didn't want my kids to grow up with, there was generational curses that I had to break, and it didn't happen overnight. Sometimes I still have to fight that down. But I'm trying. I'm trying. Continue on to try, to strive. And those babies, they will not depart from it. Are the babies going to be perfect? No. No. I had a woman one time tell me, my little daughter, and she never lies. And she was about 4. I'm like, the heck you say? Aaliyah colored on the wall. She won't ever live. She colored on the wall with crayons. I said, Aaliyah, did you do that? She said, God did it. She said, I'll never live that down. And she was about 4 or 5. It's just who we're just not created perfect. Guess what? He loves us anyway. He created us, so he loves us. Hold on to that. He loves us, and he's going to be with us no matter what. He's already gone before us. He knows what tomorrow holds, and he's going to prepare you for that. Amen. Amen. Okay, baby. Now you.
Amen. I want to charge the church right quick. You know, in that scripture in Acts, it wasn't just talking about a household. It was talking about a community of believers. So Finn needs to see his grandfather in his pursuit of God. But he also needs to see Chris Bridges in his pursuit of God. Pastor Sid in his pursuit of God. James in his pursuit of God. And teenage Isaac in his pursuit of God. Teenage Anthony in his pursuit of God. Reality is, they're probably going to look up to you guys in a certain sense she gets older, she'll be looking up to Sydney, Hannah, and Caroline, and Eden, and KK. That's the reality. That's the responsibility you guys have. Caroline, that's the responsibility you have. A community of believers, all in our pursuit of Christ. So I want to do this. Y'all got the kiddos. Y'all go ahead and bring them on down. Let me grab something out of here. Y'all stand up and come on up here. Hey, buddy, I'm going to ask y'all to stand, and y'all just come in and gather around us. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. Lisa, she needs to see you pursuing the Lord. It's huge. You blessed me the other morning, Lee, and you didn't even know it. I pull up and go into the horse barn. I have to drive by Liz, go into our horse barn. And the kids were on the back deck. Leah was sitting on the back deck with her Bible, studying the Bible when I pull up. I'm like, yes. 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 It's a big deal. All of you guys are huge. In this, in the part you play, you're all huge in it. Know that. Not just for him. Not just for the kids at school that you might coach, Nick. But for these guys. I'm going to put some oil on you.
Placed you as head of a household. You're to lead alongside. You're to lead alongside. You're not in relationship with Randy. You're in life union with Randy. It goes way deeper than relationship. So I'm in relationship with Christ. I'm in life union with Christ. And he wants to lead us alongside. And he wants you to lead alongside. And so I'll ask you to. It's okay. She can go. That's fine. You want mama? Huh? It's all right. Kathy, you play a huge role. Amen. Your walk matters. Your walk matters. Don't think it doesn't. The Spirit of God living inside of both of you.
That's right.
You're equipped to do it. You said, man, I ain't got the pedigree. You think Peter did? I did. Church, y'all come in behind and just lay hands on these people, these couples, these beautiful families. Amen. Who does she want? Who does she want? She just wants to get out of here and go. That's all right. I hear you, baby. I hear you. Amen.
Lord, you want to lead us?
Father, thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for these beautiful families that come today and make their statement that they're going to raise their children to know you and to know your ways, Father. And we as a church, we take that very seriously. We hope we can be the best undergirding for them and in every step and area of their lives, Father. I pray these homes will be homes of peace, of joy, of hope, love. God, Father, let it just be everything you've designed these homes to be, Father. Release them from perfection. Let them live their lives that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to pick ourselves up and go on by the power and the blood of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, that we can do this because he empowers us and gives us all the tools we need to be the parents, the husbands, and the wives you called them to be, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that you didn't leave us here alone on earth to just flounder about, but that you give us your hope and your love and your peace to face every day, Father, and every challenge and every season, good and hard, you'll be with us through them all, Father God. We thank you for that today. We thank you for these beautiful families, these beautiful couple, and these beautiful kids. We pray hedge of protection around their homes and their lives, Father. As much as we love them, Father, we know you love them infinitely more. Let them feel that love. Let them feel your grace and your mercy that you extend to us in each and every day we walk, Father. And we love you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. We didn't get there in the scripture, but right after this in Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow him. And so, guys, you two couples, I promise you this. Me and Lori will do our absolute best to model and pattern in front of you a pursuit of Christ. And I challenge you to do the same in front of your kids, okay? Where you can say, follow me as I followed Christ, all right? Amen. You guys be blessed. Y'all have an amazing day today, and we'll see everybody next Sunday.